Welcome to this episode of our podcast, brought to you by our sponsor, Adams Window Cleaning Services. As you gaze out your spotless window, join us as we explore the world of professional sports and the impact of the NBA salary cap on the league, from the battle between team owners and players to the role of small market franchises and the racial prejudices. We'll be delving into the complexities of these issues. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and let Adams Window Cleaning Services take care of your view while we tackle the tough questions surrounding the NBA salary cap. Currently, there are some owners in the NBA pushing for a hard cap, arguing that the current model where teams like the Warriors can spend $370 million on luxury tax penalties isn't sustainable. However, this is merely a tactic for owners to cheap out on paying their players without facing backlash from their fan bases. For example, in 2012, the OKC Thunder was lambasted by the public for denying James Harden the max, even though the ownership group is collectively worth billions just to avoid the luxury tax. Which eventually led to him being driven out of the city, where he was able to develop into an MVP in Houston. A hard cap would give similar-minded owners an easy out as it incentivizes low-ball offers and team-friendly contracts, reinforcing the narrative that the burden of sacrificing for the greater good should fall onto the players rather than the owners, who could have just spent more to keep the teams together. One argument presented in support of the hard cap is that the salary cap keeps leagues competitive and enforces parity in the league. Well, if this statement were true, then it'd be fair to assume that by spending more money than your peers, you could buy championships in the NBA. However, when looking back at the last 30 NBA championship teams, only 5 have had the highest payroll, and there's almost no correlation between how much a team is willing to spend and whether they win the championship or not. Sure, teams with some of the cheapest rosters virtually never win, but teams with the most expensive rosters also don't win a majority of the time. Surprisingly, 8 of the last 30 championship teams have had a total team salary that was cheaper than the average team salary in the league at the time. The crazy example of this being back in 1995 when the Rockets won the championship despite having the 4th cheapest payroll in the entire team. Now an example of this on the other side is back in 2005 when the New York Knicks owner James Dolan spent a criminal $124 million on the Knicks roster, with the salary cap at the time being just $46 million. Now what did this buy him? A roster that won only 23 games and had the worst record in the Eastern Conference. The truth of the matter is that winning is a lot more complicated than one's payroll. Injury luck, team chemistry, and playoff matchups all play crucial parts in the success of teams, and all things that, quite frankly, money can't buy. Another argument presented in support of the hard cap is that, players who demand more money are selfish and don't care about winning. Some may even argue that these athletes are already overpaid. But these people have devoted quite literally their whole lives to just have a fighting chance in a league of 400 of the world's best athletes, and their entire careers can easily be derailed by a single awkward landing. They deserve the opportunity to build generational wealth for themselves and their families. And like every other industry, spending money on employees should be based on performance, but already the elite of the elite are underpaid relative to how much value they bring to their franchises, where players like LeBron and Curry instantly give any team they are on a fighting chance to win a ring. In 2014, when James re-signed with Cleveland, his return added nearly $500 billion to the local economy, and in a truly open market, superstars players would be worth at least $100 million a year. Now, what I think is the real reason for these conflicting views between the players and the ownership is the difference in perspectives. It's a known idea that the NBA is and always will be a business first. So when dealing with the players, instead of owners looking at them as individuals, they see them as assets and business expenses. It should also be noted that out of the 30 NBA teams, nearly all of them are run by white men who have built their career and wealth through corporate businesses and real estate, compared to the players, where 73.2% of them identify as black, many of whom growing up in harsh environments such as Compton or homelessness. Now, obviously, not everything in the world is racist or driven by racial prejudices, but it is worth mentioning that in just the last 10 years, 2 NBA owners have already been canceled for racial incidents revolving around their team, the most recent one being Robert Sarver, previous owner of the Phoenix Suns. In 2021, ESPN described several incidents of his alleged racist, sexist, and misogynistic behavior, such as alleged anti-black racial slurs referring to his players and a toxic workplace. It's also interesting to note that he was a notoriously cheap owner after purchasing the team in 2004 and was under public criticism just months before his allegations for refusing to pay the max to center DeAndre Ayton. Now, obviously, not every owner in the NBA is a racist cheapskate, but it does draw the question whether there's a connection between the desire for a hard cap limiting the pay of a predominantly black industry and any repressed racial attitudes are still present with the owners and stakeholders of the NBA. Finally, some may argue that those in a larger market will always be at a great advantage when dealing with money. But that shouldn't matter in a league where the smallest market franchises, such as Memphis and New Orleans, are owned by people worth nearly $19 billion and $5 billion respectively. If a longtime owner truly feels financially overmatched and out of their league in the new, booming NBA, there's an alternative to whining about it or asking everyone else to play down to their level. They could simply sell their team for a gargantuan return to other billionaires who are more willing to compete with the Warriors of the world. So all in all, while the salary system in the NBA isn't perfect by any means and does need some revisions, the hard cap is definitely not the way to go. Anyway, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Bulk Podcast, and special thanks to our sponsor once again, Adams Window Cleaning Services. Tune in next week where we'll be discussing the hierarchy of RHHS teachers and why Mr. Bulk is the clear favorite. Bye.